All right, turn your Bibles, if you will, to Proverbs chapter 31. Today, as we give some attention to the mothers and talk about these wonderful, wonderful ladies, we're going to look at a passage in the Bible. It literally deals with women in general, but it indicates that the woman spoken of here was a mother. So Proverbs chapter 31, I'll be reading from verse 10 to verse 31. Who can find a virtuous woman, for her price is far above rubies? The heart of her husband doth safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. She seeketh wool and flax, and worketh willingly with her hands. She is like the merchant ship, she bringeth her food from afar. She riseth also while it is yet night, and giveth meat to her household, and a portion to her maidens. She considereth a field and buyeth it. With the fruit of her hands she planteth the vineyard. She girdeth her loins with strength and strengtheneth her arms. She perceiveth that her merchandise is good. Her candle goeth not out by night. She layeth her hands to the spindle, and her hands holdeth the staff. She stretched out her hand to the poor, yea, she reacheth forth her hand to the needy. She is not afraid of the snow, for her household, for all her household, are clothed with scarlet. She maketh herself coverings of tapestry. Her clothing is silk and purple. Her husband is known in the gates when he sitteth among the elders of the land. She maketh fine linen and selleth it, and delivereth girdles unto the merchant. Strength and honor are her clothing, and she shall rejoice in time to come. She openeth her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. She looketh well to the ways of her household, and eateth not the bread of idleness. Her children arise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praises her. Many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excelleth them all. Favor is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her of the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gates. Will you pray with me? Father, we rejoice and thank you, Lord, for our mothers. Father, the time and energy, the love and compassion and kindness for the times in our lives when we felt abandoned and our mother was there. Father, we just thank you for all of our mothers. And Lord, we thank you, our great creator, for each and every creation you made that is called mother. In thy name we pray. Amen. What an exciting day. Today, $2.6 billion. will be spent on flowers. $1.53 billion will be spent on eating out. 7.8% of all jewelry sales in the United States take place for Mother's Day. What a day! What a day! If you own a jewelry store and a restaurant, it's not what it's about. Young lady loved her mother so much back in the early 1900s that she spent 7 years from 1907 to 1914 pushing that there would be a national day known as Mother's Day. Young lady named Jane Arbus loved her mother so much that she spent her whole life in trying to spend a day, set up a day that would be proclaimed Mother's Day. 1914. Woodrow Wilson brought in and made a national proclamation that the second Sunday of every May would be Mother's Day. It's a great day because there's nothing like a good mom. There's just nothing like it. There's good dads. There's once in a while you can find a good kid. But there's nothing like a good mom. It's such a joy what they've done in our lives. You know, if we started back at the beginning with Adam and Eve, and we saw the function that God brought woman to this earth for. Man, it's unbelievable how much a mother's expected to do. We just read out of the book of Proverbs, and all this lady, I mean, she went out and she ran her own business. She went off shopping. She made clothes. She made sure the family's taken care of. She took care of every need in the family. You know, it's the only thing the husband had to do was sit in the gates of the city. What a woman. What a woman. In that day and time, in that culture, it was the men were of respect within the community, set in the gates of the city. Just her husband being in that position said a lot about her, because a man couldn't be there unless his wife was respected in the community. So the husband was expected to sit around all day, and the wife was expected to do everything else. It's too bad things changed, huh? Too bad. What a life. What a life. You know, I think back to the way it was when I was young. And yes, I can remember that far back. It's tough, but I can remember that far back. What it's like to have a Christian mother. And this morning we're going to talk more about, we'll talk about her role some and what a mother's role is, but we're going to talk about what we owe those mothers. And Proverbs 31 tells us what we owe those mothers. But I think, you know, my mother died at age 95. And at age 94, the last time I saw her, she was still as true and faithful to her Lord as she was the day I died, or the day she was born. Mom never faltered. And my dad was a preacher. So, you know, I got it all of my life. But looking back, I remember the true, gentle faithfulness of my mother and how she is the one. My dad was so busy in being a pastor that it was my mother. I remember those little lessons that come out of the Bible. I've told many of you before that I got a spanking every Sunday night. I remember that wasn't the kind, gentle side of Mom. But every Sunday night, there was an expectation that I behaved in church, you know. But I remember I knew it was coming before I went to church because I couldn't help it. There was no way I could be still for 2 hours. Those days, church was long, guys. It wasn't. To be fair to me, it was a long stretch for a kid to sit there for 2 hours. But what I'm saying is my mother gained my respect, not just because in the loving, kind, gentle way she handled me, but in the firm, disciplinary way that she had to handle me at times. She gained my respect. And I know many of you have had great experiences with a kind, loving Christian mother. Some of you may have had bad experiences with your mother, and I'm truly sorry for you. God didn't set it up to be that way. The book of Genesis, it says that Eve was created from Adam. God said that it was not good that man should be alone. What an amazing thing that is to me, that just from the start, God in His infinite knowledge looked at man and said, "Buddy, you can't do it by yourself. You're going to need somebody to help you." And that's held true all through time, hasn't it, guys? We got to have that help. If not, then we get in so much trouble. So God looked down upon Adam, put him in a deep sleep, and formed a woman of his rib, and her name was called Eve. And God said she will be the help meet for Adam. What a wonderful story that is of the competence of woman. It's an acknowledgement that man is not made to go it alone, that he needs that strong, gentle, loving, kind presence with him to accomplish what he does in his life. I get, it's funny how us guys get, you know, we're real good at letting you know what we've done, but there's too few times we tell you what our wives have done. Too many times we forget to let people know that what we get done wouldn't have got done without our wife's help. We want to get so much credit and be special. And it's that gentle, kind woman that's always there taking care of us. And God knew that. From the beginning time, He knew Adam needs a helper. If you go to the fourth chapter of Genesis, it also talks about Eve being a mother. And we don't know a lot about her years of motherhood. We know she took a crushing blow when her son Cain killed her son Abel. But we know Eve, being the first woman, the first mother, the first wife, was created in a manner that would hold her husband up in whatever God gave him to do. And whatever challenges he faced in his life, that woman was put there. Her roles were many. It was helper, childbearer, caregiver, housekeeper, peacemaker, organizer. All those things are what a mother is expected of a mother. And you know, It hasn't changed a bit. All those things are still expected of a mother. But in our day, the poor, many, many mothers now have to work out in society. We live in an expensive world. And so now we have an expectation, Mom, you can do all this, but I want you to hold a job too. And we've taken so much from her, and we always are dragging it off. I look at my own wife, and I think sometimes she comes home from a day at work and then jumps in and cleans the house. And I think, man, I couldn't do that. You know, I come home from work, I want you to feel sorry for me. I come home from work, I want to walk in the door going, oh, you know, all those sounds you make. And whether you heard or not, you got to make them when you walk in the door. You got to make people know how bad it is, how tough your day was. You know, it doesn't matter if you did anything or not. It's still you walk in the door, it's, oh, where's the ibuprofen? Sometimes my wife will say what's wrong, and I can't think of anything to tell her because there's nothing wrong. I just, sound comes out of my mouth automatically. But my poor wife and many, many wives have, there's an expectation that their day doesn't stop when their public service stops. They walk in the door of that house. They're still expected to maintain that house. And, you know, I have a commitment. I do, guys. I have a commitment that my wife will never come home to a dirty dish. I do my best to make sure I'm in the house at some time during the day and get what dishes are dirty, washed and put up. But I don't always do it. I have the commitment. Don't get me wrong. I got the right idea. I just don't always do it because I forget. But she never forgets. And it's amazing to me that a woman can be so focused on the needs of her household. What a joy it is to know God created woman to keep us guys out of trouble. It's amazing. It's amazing. They spend most of their lives in the background, not getting much credit. They spend much of their time being ignored, if you will, taken for granted. Much of their lives are simply there to push the little things off on. And today, let's look at what we owe them. In Proverbs chapter 31, the one we just read, let's look at verse 10. Who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. What a statement, isn't it? That if you have a virtuous woman, you cannot put a price tag on her. That there's no value can be assigned to that woman. That what she does cannot even, you can't imagine trying to replace her. There would be no way to do it. A virtuous woman is far, her value is so much higher than we'll ever know. How many of us in our lives have taken our mothers or our wives for granted? And, you know, we tend to live in a society now that's, you know, it's a temporary society. If you don't like the way your husband or wife acts, it's okay. There's plenty more of them out there. Dump that one. We've come to think that way. And television promotes that attitude that marriage is a trial run. But the Bible tells us that if you get your hands on a virtuous woman, that guys, there's no way in the world you can ever hope to put a value on that. Because of what she does for you, you don't even know. Her value is so strong. Her treasure, she's a treasure in the home. Even the poorest home in America, the poorest place there is, there's a treasure in every home, and that's called a mother. That lady who lovingly pours her heart out to raise her children. And folks, don't get me wrong. I don't consider a mother necessarily the woman that gives birth to a child. I'm talking about the woman who raises a child. Now, I believe they're both mothers, I believe that surrender and that commitment to raise a child is unbelievable. All of you that have kids, all of you guys that have kids, what would have been like? I was a single parent for many years, and I know there was a big hole in my daughter and I's life. And guys, I couldn't keep up. There was no way in the world to keep up raising a child. A man, it's almost impossible for us to be equipped to do that. You have to if you have no choice. But as I look at my life, I ask you guys to think, what would it be like if you had to do it all, plus raise your kids? What would it be like for you to have to face that challenge? But God reached down in most of your situations out there, and He gave you a virtuous woman. Her worth and her price is beyond imagination. Verse 11. The heart of her husband doth safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. Is there anything better than having someone in your life you can trust? Is that not such an earthly joy, is trust? You know, there's no husband and wife alive, there's no mother or father that doesn't blow it at times. We get mad at one another and we argue and we fight. Then our wife lets us get up off the floor and we start all over again. But to have that trust, what a joy it is. To know you have somebody there that your deepest, darkest secrets are safe. See, I've done a lot of marital counseling in my life of couples that are broken up. You know, one of the saddest things there is when a couple breaks up, it's the fear of your secrets being shared. Those things you trusted that person with. The depth of the intimacy in your life and how that you're afraid now that, wow, that's out there. But if we hold it together, that trust that we have for our wives and our mothers, that beautiful thing in our home, that's above all things, is to know I can trust you. I know you're going to be there for me. I know that God created in you a personality and qualities that I can't understand because I'm a man. And there's no way I'm made different than you. But I know that God put in you some qualities that are beyond comprehension because your patience with your children, your love for your husband, that time that you spend, even when you've expended all your energy, you still have the time to look out for those around you. And says that her husband has no need of spoil. It just means a husband who has a loving, virtuous wife, that trusting woman, that wonderful mother, he doesn't need to go out and make a bunch of money. He doesn't have to gain a bunch of things. He's got what he needs at home. Now, he may get and gain other things, but there's nothing more he really needs than that special mate that he can trust and hold on to. Verse 21. She is not afraid of the snow for her household, for all of her household are clothed with scarlet. That loving, virtuous, wonderful mother and wife is always prepared. You ever notice that, guys, when you get ready to go somewhere, it's your wife that remembers the little things you didn't? That she reminds you of things. And you may have the big, tough, macho guys, you think, oh, yeah, I got all we need. I got the gas. I got the car. And the wife's saying, well, you know, there's some little things here, honey, we need to take with us on this trip. How it is when our wives are trying to prepare us for things and we, you know, we get a little ornery and a little cranky. We don't want to listen to them. I know how to do that. What are you talking about? I've done it this 100 times before. And our wife is so kind and gentle, she doesn't say, but you got it wrong 99 other times. She just tells you, get it right. Listen to me, that kind of. I watch with my wife. I know there's so many things. My wife loves orderliness and things in place and all that. I don't. If you put stuff up, you can't find it. It's ridiculous to put stuff up. And I watch in her gentleness how she lets me have my areas that I can clutter up. And she doesn't hassle me over those areas. And I think, what a wonderful thing it is that in the virtuous woman, she looks beyond her own wants and understands the needs of others. What a wonderful thing is. She's always prepared and ready for what comes our way. She always gets us ready. She gets the kids ready in the morning. She puts the kids to bed at night. She prepares her children for a world they're facing. She raises them in the right way. And God, Dad, you have a lot to do with it too. But I'm saying that the mom is the one that's there. She is that solid foundation that makes every home stand up on its own because she's always prepared. Verse 28. Her children rise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praises her. What is the mother, the wife's position in the home? It's worthy of praise. Isn't that amazing? It's worthy of praise. It says the children rise up and call her blessed. That dads ask you a question. When's the last time you made your kids pay respect to their mother? When's the last time you praised your wife? Because if she's what the Bible describes, then that's what you owe to her. When's the last time you took the time to quit thinking of yourself and realize how much that woman's given up of her life? You know, guys, we walk through life and we can go have a kid and we don't have no stretch marks. We don't have all the problems that go along with having the children. We don't have any of those headaches. Yet we go through life taking credit for those kids. We never take the time to tell our wives, what a wonderful thing you've done for me. What a wonderful wife you've been. And it's not just because that she does those things. It's because God created in her the ability to do those things. So there's no mother here today, no wife. There's no one here that's inherently on their own, that wonderful person the Scripture talks about. They're only there because God made them that way. We got to give glory to God for our wives. We got to hold up praise to God. We got to spend our time doing what the Bible says. Our children need to get up and call their mothers blessed. And guys, I don't care how old you are sitting up there, it's never too late to tell your mama she's blessed. So I'll tell you a secret about your wives. She'll nurture and fondle and feed and prepare and take care of your children. And she'll send them off in the world. And she's still got you to raise. It don't ever change. It don't ever change. Her child raising years never end. Because why? Because God created a quality in woman that said, this will complete man. This will make him whole. Guys, if you're, those of you who are single out there, you know what? You're not whole till you have a wife. You're not. And there's a lot of you are self-sufficient and think you are. That's okay. Take it from an older guy. Take it from God. You're not complete till you have the right woman in your life. And why is that? Because you weren't completed whole. Two things missing from your life. One is knowing the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. The second is having that soulmate. That wonderful creation that God gave us, that mother that loves, cherishes, nurtures her children. Will she make mistakes? Oh, yeah, she's going to make some mistakes. But we need to set our children up in the morning to call her blessed. The husband needs to hold praise up to her. Sadly, many of us guys spend our whole life trying to show how much control we have, and we push our wives to a secondary place. And we expect them to just do whatever we decide the family's going to do. We don't give praise to them. We take away from them. The Bible says that that virtuous woman deserves that glory and praise. And what qualities in a woman, besides those we've read here, what wonderful qualities in a woman would inspire others to be great men? Do you realize that all the wonderful, and we'll just stick within the religious community, all the wonderful preachers throughout time, without exception, praise their mother for what they became in their lives. God gave them the gift. Their mother gave them the motivation. She's the one that took them down that path to get them ready. She's the one that encouraged them when dad's saying, go out and be a doctor, and mom's saying, if God's telling you to be a preacher, be a preacher. All those wonderful men that their mothers held them up. What qualities inspire that? What a wonderful thing it is to know that God knew man couldn't get it right. What a wonderful thing that is. I want to talk to you just a few minutes about a mother in the Bible. I want you to turn over to the book of Ruth. Now, this particular book is not about a mother. It's about a daughter-in-law. But there's a passage in here that's used in many weddings that I want to talk to you about. And I want to talk to you about Ruth's mother-in-law. Ruth chapter 1. I'm going to read verses 16 and 17. And Ruth said, "Entreat me not to leave thee, nor to return from following after thee. For whither thou goest, I will go, and whither thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God my God. Where thou diest will I die, and there will I be buried. The Lord do so to me, and more also, if aught but death part thee and me." This is a daughter-in-law talking to her mother-in-law. What an expression of love. What I want to ask you, what would it have taken on a mother-in-law's part to have inspired that kind of love in her daughter-in-law? If we read the book of Ruth, we know that it started out with her husband taking, there was a famine going on in the nation of Israel, and her husband took, Naomi was the mother-in-law's name, her husband took her into the land of Moab to go out and seek out some food, to find a place to, they could survive. Well, while over there, her husband's name was Elimelech, they had two sons, both sons married. While in the land of Moab, which these two boys married two Moabite women, which they weren't supposed to do as Israelites. It wasn't forbidden, but if they married a Moabite woman and they had a child, then the child could not be recognized for 10 generations. That was the rule. The people of Moab were a result of an incestuous relationship between Lot and his daughter. So that's where the Moabites came from. But anyway, Elimelech took Naomi and they moved to the land of Moab. And then that place, he died and his two sons died. And it left Naomi and her two daughters. Absolutely nobody to take care of these three women. Nobody at all. They were out there with no hope in the world. Naomi makes a decision. We're going to go back to the land of my fathers, back to the nation of Israel. So as she comes, her two daughter-in-laws, Orpah and Ruth, come with her. She tells them, turn around and go back. There's nothing for you here. Go back. Go back to your own land, to your own people. Your husbands, I can't take care of you. I can't provide for you. But these two girls follow her on and on and on as she heads home. And Naomi keeps telling them, go back, go back. Finally, the one daughter and law goes back, but Ruth stays with her. And that's when she utters this statement. Wherever you go, Mom, I'll go with you. Whatever you do, I'll do. Wherever you die, I'm going to die. Your God is my God. So what qualities caused this daughter-in-law, not to her mom, but to her mother-in-law, what made this woman such a good mother that her daughter-in-law chose to follow her into a place she didn't even know, she knew nothing about? What qualities were there in Naomi? Well, the book doesn't talk a lot about her, but we can draw from this the little things we see that she said, that she was a woman that inspired great loyalty, and evidently she's a woman that talked about her God and says, your God will be my God. I want to follow you back there and worship. She was a mother that inspired loyalty, even though she no longer lived with her own people. Out here in this land of Moab, where she knew no one, she stayed true and faithful to the beliefs of her people. And her daughter-in-laws of this other people group were so excited about this woman that Ruth says, I'll even worship the God you worship. What inspired this woman, Ruth, to say, you know what? Those people in Israel don't like us Moabites. We're a forbidden people to them. Why? You know, Naomi, I know you're going back there. In her mind, she had to be thinking, if I go there, they're going to hate me. I'm going to be persecuted. I'm going to be looked down upon. But Naomi inspired such loyalty that Ruth says, I'll take the chance and follow my mom into that land. When they got to that land, what did they have? Nothing but poverty. They were so poor, that Ruth had to go out into the fields after the wealthy people harvested their fields, what's called a gleaning. They could go out and pick up what was left. And that was actually a religious law for the nation of Israel to allow a gleaning. And so this woman here with her mother-in-law, they were so poor they had nothing. What inspired her to stay with this mother-in-law? Her, not her mom, she had no obligation. What inspired her to stay with her and go out there and get on her hands and knees and bring in food so that they would have something to eat? What inspired that? I think it would have to be that Naomi must have been such a wonderful mother, such a godly woman, that Ruth must have said, I look at her, and that's what I want to be. I see in her all the qualities I would like to have. I see the things in her that make me know that no matter what we do without, she'll always take care of me and protect me, that I will feel safe for her. It's hard for you and I to comprehend that kind of commitment because we live in a society that's based strictly on material possessions. We live in a world where we stick to people because of what they can do for us. But Ruth said, this woman is so special. I want to hold on to her no matter what it costs me. If I have to leave everything and everybody I know behind, I'm going to go with her. Her God must be such a mighty God that He made this woman that I want to come and I want to know her God. Her people may hate me, but I will stand firm with this woman because she's the mother to me that I need. What a great example Naomi was. And there's women all through the Bible that can give examples to you ladies here today. Men, you owe an obligation of praise to your wife. Ladies, you have an obligation to look at those women of the Bible and say, how do I become like they were? Isn't it neat that the first people to see the resurrected Savior was women? Isn't that awesome? That's that tomb when all the guys were cowards and scared to come out and show their faces. Women went to take care of the body of Jesus, and sure enough, the resurrected Savior was there. Not a dead God, but a resurrected Savior. Isn't that wonderful? Wasn't it wonderful that the Bible tells us that Mary was so blessed of God, such a good woman, that she was allowed to conceive by the Holy Spirit and have that Savior here on earth? Don't get me wrong. Mary was not God and is not holy. She was a good woman. She was an outstanding example of what a woman should be, faithful and true to God. She cried out when she was told, thank you, God, for my Savior. She didn't say, thank you, God, I'm going to have a baby. She says, thank you for sending my Savior. What a godly woman she was. We look back over and over and over again. We look at Hannah and we see her saying to God, God, just give me a child. Just give me a child. Just give me a baby, Lord, and I'll give him right back to you. I'll hand him right back to you, God. And sure enough, God blessed her with a child, and she handed him right back. We look at Sarah. Now, folks, Sarah, Abraham's wife, think about this. Sarah's name means contrary woman, okay? That's what it means in the old Hebrew. So Sarah wasn't a pushover. You were named by your characteristics, and Sarah wasn't a pushover, but she wandered around in the middle of nowhere with Abraham because God told him where to go. And you know what Sarah did? She walked for year after year after year after year with him, and she was never blessed with a child, never had a child, but she stayed true to her husband. What a wonderful woman she was. And then at age 90, God lets her have a baby. What a deal, huh? Some of you are saying, no, that ain't a blessing. I think the great part of the story is that when she heard, she laughed. Yeah, right, God. But she didn't say, I can't do it. She says, my husband's old. My husband's old. What a faithful and true woman she was, though. And she had that child that became, the nation of Israel came from that child, Isaac. What a woman she was. We look at Moses' wife. We don't know anything about this woman. Her father was a priest of Midian, and this lady, Zipporah, married Moses out in the middle of nowhere. He's living there in her land, taking care of her dad's sheep. One day he comes home and says, guess what, babe? We're going back to Egypt. And she's saying, why would you do that? When you left there, you were charged with murder. God told me to. I saw a bush burning. It was on fire, and this voice come up. She didn't say, honey, you've been on the rice wine. She was faithful and true to her husband. What a woman she was. We don't see her spoken of, but we see the 40 years of the nation of Israel wandering in the wilderness. What a woman she was. Huh? Faithful and true. Example after example after example in the Bible shows us such wonderful godly women. What a wonderful thing it is that God says, man, I love you so much that I'm going to give you someone who will understand you and hold you and take care of you, that will nurture your children. if we were to take all day long, we couldn't touch all the examples in the scripture. What we need to do is take the time to say, how am I treating what God has given me? If right now, men, if you had to stand before Almighty God, and don't get me wrong, this is a part of your obligation as a husband. If you had to stand before God today and He said to you, how are you treating your wife? What would your answer be? Oh, I'm treating her just like my buddies do. And God's going to say, are you treating her like I told you to? Are you respecting her, nurturing her? Are you providing for her? Are you loving her? Are you giving her credit for your successes? Because, buddy, you couldn't have done it without her. Are you doing it, men? Well, God is watching you. He knows what you're doing. You young guys out here, there's just some single guys out here today. Guys, you need to hook up with a good, virtuous woman and don't let her go. You need to know that life is much more complete once your other half is there. It's a hard job to find the right one. But once you have, if you let them go, you're dumb. Ask any of the guys here. Today, men, let's take the time to realize and respect what a woman is, what a mother is, how much of your life is a fond memory because you had a mother there to make it a good memory. How many things in your life that your wife does for you, you've never said thank you? How many of you have taken the time to say, my wife is special? Well, this is her day today. This is a day that we acknowledge the joy of mothers and wives. And today, I just challenge you guys to, when you walk out of here, do you respect your wife? If you can get a hold of respect, the rest of it will fall in place. If you're not showing her respect, you're not doing it. Ladies, when you walk out of here today, think of those women of the Bible and say, you know what, God? You gave me some examples. I'm going to do my best to get there. I'm going to do my best to get there. You young unmarried ladies here today, take the time to be what God wants you to be. Take the time to understand that He has a divine plan for you. Take those characteristics that He's developed within you and apply them to your life. Find the right guy. Most of all, girls, don't sell yourself out. Don't do it. The words, men are very good at saying, oh, I love you. Don't always listen to that. Listen to what's in their eyes, what's coming from their heart. Demand the respect that God expects you to have. What number, Brian? In those folders in the pew, turn to page 5 to song number 8. This morning, we'll have a hymn of invitation. It wasn't a sermon about salvation, but you know what? God speaks in mysterious ways. If He's touched your heart today, then it's time to get it right with Him. Please stand. Bow your heads, close your eyes. Dear Father, again, we just come before You humbly asking Your blessing on us, dear Lord. Asking that You would touch the hearts of the men here, the children here. Let us realize that our wives, our mothers are not conveniences. That they are things that are due our praise. That we should call our mothers blessed. That we should praise our wives. Lord, help us this morning to be what You mean us to be. Help the ladies here, dear Lord, that they might understand their position is so unique in Your creation. They are so special. If there's any here that don't know You, Lord, let them know that You hung on that old cross because You loved all that's here, men and women, that You died there, and that You arose from that grave, that each person here might have eternal life. Be with us this day, Lord. In Thy name we pray. Amen.